Pushkin. Just another day in Azeroth. Some citizens are enjoying themselves, indulging in the everyday activities that Azeroth has to offer. Exploring, accepting quests, trading, hanging out with their pet scorpids and octopodes, or getting into fights. Living their best lives in a fantasy kingdom. But for the mighty heroes, tough enough to enter the unexplored jungle realm of Zul-Gurub, the expectation was that they would leave a dream and enter a nightmare. The domain of the blood god, Hakkar the Soul Flayer. What am I talking about? A computer game called World of Warcraft. But on that particular day, September the 13th, 2005, something was happening inside that computer game that was to become strangely prophetic. The nightmare of Hakkar the Soul Flayer was not going to be confined to Zul-Gurub. I'm Tim Harford, and you're listening to Cautionary Tales. World of Warcraft is a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. That means hundreds of thousands of people are online at the same time, able to interact with each other by talking, trading, brawling, casting spells, or teaming up in epic battles. Stories in World of Warcraft emerge from what the players do as they interact together, reacting to what the game throws at them. In Warcraft, those players take on the role of fantastical characters, such as crafty rogues, virtuous paladins, or amoral warlocks. Players who play a lot have characters who leveled up, becoming tougher and tougher, effectively becoming a mythical hero in a world filled with mediocrities. Mythical heroes need worthy challenges, and that is why, from time to time, Blizzard Entertainment, the company that produces World of Warcraft, adds new realms, new quests, new and terrible foes. Foes such as the blood god Hakkar the Soul Flayer, who lurked deep in the realm of Zul-Gurub. As soon as Blizzard Entertainment rolled out the software update that created Zul-Gurub, curious players naturally sent their characters in to have a look. Inexperienced, low-level characters didn't stand a chance. Either they were slain or they quickly retreated to safer regions. Zul-Gurub was designed to be a tough challenge for high-level characters, the mightiest heroes in the world. Hakkar the Soul Flayer could place a curse on people with the temerity to confront him. A curse called Corrupted Blood. If your character had Corrupted Blood, the game would depict a fountain of gore spurting from them with a squelching sound, and their health would start draining away. That could be fatal almost immediately for low-level characters, but for the high-level heroes fighting Hakkar the Soul Flayer, it was more of an inconvenience. They could keep themselves alive while the curse lasted. After a while, it expired. Oh, and the other thing about Corrupted Blood? It was contagious. It would spread between allies from one character to another if they didn't socially distance. Is this starting to ring any bells? Diseases spread when their carriers move around. It could be fleas on rats in the hold of a sailing ship, carrying the Black Death across the world, or infected air passengers moving coronavirus around at the speed of an airliner. In World of Warcraft, people move even faster. They teleport. Players of World of Warcraft don't pay their subscription fees just so their characters can walk around for weeks on end. And so the game allows characters to teleport instantly from a dangerous area like Zul'Gurub to a safe, well-populated city. You can see where this is going. A powerful, infected character could blink out of a titanic struggle in the heart of Zul'Gurub and reappear in the middle of a densely populated city, spreading the curse. Blizzard Entertainment didn't want that to happen. Corrupted Blood was supposed to be a challenge only for those who chose to enter Zul'Gurub. So Blizzard's programmers included a line of code that would automatically cancel the Corrupted Blood effect at the moment that a character left the battle with Hakkar. Except, for some reason, Corrupted Blood escaped from Zul'Gurub anyway. In Azeroth's busy cities, it spread to low-level characters who would be dead in a few seconds. It also spread to the computer-controlled characters that kept the game's economy running in the background. These bot characters were nobody special: market traders, innkeepers, priests or town guards. But in the cities, these bots were everywhere. Because it was the simplest way to keep the game running smoothly, these computer characters were programmed to be almost immortal. Not a problem, usually. But now, it meant that they could serve as asymptomatic carriers of the curse. Great, now you have these invulnerable extras strolling around in the background of the game, serving drinks and snacks, with a side order of deadly, corrupted blood. The stage was set for the world's first virtual pandemic. It had started in a remote corner of the world and spread to the cities. With hindsight, it was all a little prescient. At Tufts University's Center for Modeling Infectious Diseases, Nina Pfefferman's phone rang. It was a student of hers, Eric Lofgren. Lofgren was a keen World of Warcraft player, and he and Pfefferman had been talking about the game's potential as a research tool. They weren't the only academics to be interested. Scientists and social scientists were waking up to the possibility that these complex, highly social games might be a terrific source of real-world insight. Economists, for example, were asking, could we study inflation by deliberately flooding a virtual world with gold coins? What would happen? How would people react? And epidemiologists like Lofgren and Pfefferman were wondering whether they could learn something by persuading a gaming company to unleash a public health emergency on a virtual world. Although Lofgren was on the other end of the phone line, Pfefferman could hear that he was excited.
Log into the game,
said Lofgren.
That thing we were talking about, it's happening.
Corrupted Blood was spreading fast. Characters strong enough not to be killed instantly would flee the plague-infested cities, carrying the curse with them. The computer bot characters would stroll around as their programming dictated, looking innocent but spreading death. And some players, curious to see what the fuss was about, sent their characters into infected areas to have a look at the pools of blood and the piles of virtual skeletons. The result was that the curse spread with unimaginable speed. Early in the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic, before the lockdowns, the number of people infected doubled every 2 or 3 days. The number of characters infected with corrupted blood doubled every 9 minutes. World of Warcraft seems like one big game, but in practice, for technical reasons, there are lots of parallel game servers, each hosting a few thousand players. Outbreaks happened on different game servers at different times. Whenever they did, it would take mere hours before every vulnerable character on that server was either dead or hiding somewhere very remote. The gaming community was abuzz with the news. What was going on? In the first server to be affected, Ironforge, the dwarven capital, was quick to succumb to the plague. Surviving characters just saw piles of skeletons marking where countless others had perished. The capital of the orcs, Orgrimmar, fared no better. Within hours, it was overrun. Players scrambled to keep their characters out of harm's way. As the epidemiologists Pfefferman and Lofgren watched the virtual pandemic unfold, some of what they saw surprised them. They were amazed to see some characters rushing heroically towards the danger, casting healing spells to try to stop the spread, even at the cost of their own lives. Altruistic players were risking harm to a character they'd long cherished because they wanted to do the right thing. That wasn't something you saw in the epidemiological models. Another surprise was the appearance of what, with hindsight, we might call plague idiots. Players who deliberately contracted an infection and spread it around, or who accidentally did so, first by recklessly running in to see what the fuss was about, and then by running away again. Corrupted blood, after all, was, like COVID, fairly harmless to some, and deadly to others. And some people don't much care about others. Misinformation circulated. Everyone seemed to be promoting a cure. All the cures were snake oil. And conspiracy theories circulated too, as the players of the game tried to figure out a question that has become all too familiar. Did someone do this on purpose? Did the game's designers think it would be fun to introduce an utterly deadly, mind-bendingly transmissible disease into their fantasy world? Was it a disgruntled employee trying to sabotage the game? Maybe some rogue epidemiologists had whispered into Blizzard's ears and persuaded them to run a grand experiment. Blizzard Entertainment weren't telling. They had their hands full as their initial puzzlement turned to alarm. "It was really scary," said the lead engineer, John Cash. "We didn't know why it was happening." Remember that I mentioned that characters had pets? Cats, spiderlings, giant snails, that sort of thing. Well, those pets proved to be the vector for corrupted blood escaping Zul'Gurub and spreading in the cities. The programmers had failed to anticipate how that might happen. Much like real-world virologists overlooking some flaw in their biosecurity measures that allows a virus they're studying to accidentally escape from the lab. Perish the thought. And now, corrupted blood was making the game unplayable. You couldn't do very much in World of Warcraft if you didn't periodically visit the cities. And with the cities piled high with bones and blood, that wasn't very appealing. Blizzard Entertainment tried to organise a voluntary quarantine on the affected game servers. It did not work. Too many players broke the rules. Blizzard didn't really have the option of imposing a lockdown. Who would choose to spend their time being a mythical hero in a magical realm if they're forced to stay at home all day? Blizzard did have one godlike power that sadly wasn't open to human leaders in early 2020. They could take the entire game offline to reset it. They didn't want to do that. It would be disruptive and embarrassing, but World of Warcraft was so complex that its creators weren't sure if there was another way to fix it. Years later, when COVID began to spread in earnest, there was a flurry of newspaper articles asking what the corrupted blood pandemic might tell us about the real one. "A lot," said Wired magazine. "World of Warcraft perfectly predicted our coronavirus pandemic." Maybe. Some of the parallels are unsettling. But while the epidemiologists Eric Lofgren and Nina Pfefferman did indeed scrutinise the virtual pandemic for real-world insights, they concluded that, as scientists, they hadn't learned as much as they'd hoped. Lofgren and Pfefferman published an article in the medical journal, The Lancet, arguing that the World of Warcraft plague was a tantalising missed opportunity for epidemiologists. It was too different to a real epidemic, and Blizzard Entertainment hadn't shared enough data about what happened. Epidemiologists are still eager to watch realistic plagues unfold inside computer games, but games companies aren't so keen. After a few days, Blizzard decided to bite the bullet. It took the game offline, updated the software, and rebooted the servers. The corrupted blood plague was over. For a full list of our sources, please see the show notes at timharford.com.
Cautionary Tales is written by me, Tim Harford, with Andrew Wright. It's produced by Ryan Dilley, with support from Courtney Garino and Emily Vaughan. The sound design and original music is the work of Pascal Wise. Julia Barton edited the scripts. It features the voice talents of Ben Crow, Melanie Gutteridge, Stella Harford, and Rufus Wright. The show also wouldn't have been possible without the work of Mia LaBelle, Jacob Weisberg, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Eric Sandler, Royston Beserve, Maggie Taylor, Nicole Morano, Daniela Lacan, and Maya Koenig. Cautionary Tales is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review.